Welcome to the Calvary Assembly Podcast, with weekly messages from the Calvary Assembly of God Church in Lexington, Nebraska. You can find out more online at lexag.org and on Facebook at Calvary Assembly Lex. Thanks for listening.
All right, we're starting a new message series today. I'm really excited about this one. It's called Gradually, Then Suddenly, and this is based on a book by Mark Batterson. Mark Batterson is one of my favorite writers. He's also one of our Assemblies of God pastors. He pastors in Washington, D.C., National Community Church, but he wrote a new book this year, and it's called Gradually, Then Suddenly, and it comes from this. Ernest Hemingway once described bankruptcy. They said, how did you become bankrupt? He's like, well, two ways, gradually, then suddenly. And isn't that pretty much everything in life? It happens gradually, then suddenly, right? If you tell someone, hey, you're in great shape. How did you get there? What is it? Gradually, then suddenly, right? It's process, it's work. How did you get such a great marriage? Gradually, then suddenly, right? It's putting in the work. And so over the next couple of weeks, it's 3 weeks, we're going to go through some of the ideas from this book. He did give permission for us to do this, but we're going to talk about how God answers prayers, how God brings dreams to pass, and it's usually gradually, and then it's just here suddenly, right? For good or for bad. So have your Bibles. We're going to turn to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, starting in verse 15. And you're going to say, what in the world does this have to do with anything? Just stick with us. We'll get there. Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. So this is when Moses was a baby. If you remember, Moses became the leader of Israel. He delivered the people. God used him. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives. Now, a little backstory. The Israelites came to Egypt. If you remember Joseph in the Old Testament, Joseph had a dream that he would be a great person. God used him to save millions of people's lives by his dream interpretation. He became second in command in Egypt. And when Joseph died, a new Pharaoh came to power and didn't know anything about Joseph. All he knew is he had all these Israelites in his land and he made them slaves. And so he was worried that there were going to be so many Israelites in Egypt that they would eventually take over. And so in verse 15, it says, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shipra and Puah. Aren't those great names? When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said, why have you done this? Why have you allowed the boys to live? And they said, well, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They are more vigorous and they have babies so quickly we can't get there in time. I get, man, I'm glad people here don't do that because I don't want to deliver babies on the ambulance. But beside the point. So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. And then if you skip down, chapter 12, starting in verse 40, we see this incredible thing here. Chapter 12, verse 40. It says, the people of Israel lived in Egypt for 430 years. In fact, it was on the last day of the 430th year that all the Lord's forces left the land. On this night, the Lord kept his promise to bring his people out of the land of Egypt. So that night belongs to him. So God answered a prayer 430 years later, right? And it happened because these two women were what? Faithful. So let's talk about this for a minute. How do we stay faithful to the Lord when it seems like answers aren't coming? Now, how many of you guys have ever had a dream? You're like, God, I want you to do this, but you haven't seen it come to pass yet. Anyone have dreams you're waiting on God to do? God, I want this family member to serve you. God, I want you to do this in my family. I want this. And it just seems like it hasn't gotten there yet. What do we do? How do we stay faithful when it seems like God is slow in answering? Well, the first thing we have to understand is that God sees things differently than us. Because we know that God's ways are what? Higher than ours. God's ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, the Lord says this, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God's ways are different. God sees things differently. And aren't you glad for that? I'm glad God's not like us. God doesn't change his mind because he sees everything all together. And it's amazing when you think about it. When you ask God a question, he doesn't have to think about the answer. He already knows it. Think about that. When you ask God something, he doesn't have to think about it. He already knows. God knows the past and the future. He knows everything. He sees things differently. And here's the thing, guys. He sees things that we can't. And I know I've done this. I've asked God for something, and he has an answer. I say, Lord, why didn't you answer? And then later on, I say, oh, I'm glad you didn't answer, right? Because you saw things I didn't. He sees things differently. So we see that his ways are higher, and then he sees things differently. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, he says, you must not forget this one thing. He sees time differently. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years are like a day. God sees time differently. In Psalm 90, verse 2, he says, before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God. Did you catch that? He says, before you formed anything, you are God. Not you were God, you are God. He is different. He says, you turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals, for 1,000 years are as a passing day, as brief as a few night hours. So guys, God sees time differently. We see time as linear, right? Morning, evening, years. God sees time totally differently. And here's the thing. God works through generations. Think about this. The verses we read earlier, it says these Hebrew midwives allowed the babies to live. What was one of those babies they allowed to live? His name was Moses. 430 years later, the people left Egypt. So think about that. The people have been praying for a deliverer. Eventually, Moses comes along. These Hebrew midwives allow him to live. And Moses was the answer to those prayers that had been prayed 400 years earlier. God works through generations. How many of you know some of you are sitting here today with a relationship with Christ because somebody prayed for you years ago? I know I'm here because I had a grandma and grandpa that prayed for me. When I was rebellious, when I was running from God, they kept praying for me. And I can trace my spiritual lineage back to them. Guys, some of you are going to do something incredible for God that someone had been praying for maybe even generations before. How many of you know there are missionaries on the other side of the world doing work? God is answering prayers through them that someone else prayed years ago. I've heard stories of missionaries who are on the field for decades, and they would see one or two people come to Christ in 30 or 40 years of ministry. And now where they were, there's a booming church because those people kept praying. And now today we're seeing the answer. So guys, God doesn't always answer questions or answer prayers just like this. He works sometimes through generations. Why? Because he sees time differently. His ideas are bigger. He sees things differently. He sees time differently. And God works with a long view. God works with a long view. Now, I want to read you a little bit. I'm going to show you some pictures. Stay with me, okay? I promise this is going somewhere, all right? I know you're going to think, what in the world? Pastor's lost his mind. No, really, it's maybe. But I'm still here, all right? So stick with me. So in December 1970, there was an American agronomist named Norman Borlaug. Here's his picture. Norman Borlaug. You ever heard of him before? Most of you probably have not, all right? But here's the thing. He was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his contribution to the world food supply. If you never heard of him, you're not alone. Most people haven't. Most agronomists fly under the radar. But this guy is credited with saving more than 1/8 of our planet's population. 1/8 of the population of Earth is alive because this guy and his work in agronomy. So he got a Nobel Peace Prize. He was also awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom and the Congressional Gold Medal. He's one of only seven people alive, or seven people in history that have received all three of those awards. So in 1933, Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany while FDR was elected President of the U.S. During the Second World War, who did you hear about? Well, most of us weren't alive then, but you heard about FDR and Hitler. But very few people have ever had more impact on more people than Roosevelt and Hitler, but this guy's one of them. In 1933, Norman Borlaug was 19 years old. He applied to the University of Minnesota, but he failed his entrance exam. But he didn't give up. He overcame that. He earned his Bachelor of Science in Forestry, and he was also in the Wrestling Hall of Fame during that time. And then he didn't give up. He went ahead and got his PhD in plant pathology at the University of Minnesota in 1942. So when all these men were going off to fight in the war, he decided to fight a different battle. He wanted to help end world hunger. So he took a research post at the International Maize and Wheat Improvement Center in Mexico, where he cultivated a high-yield, disease-resistant variety of wheat. In December of 2006, both houses of Congress passed a congressional tribute to Borlaug. They said the number of lives Dr. Borlaug has saved is more than a billion, with a B, billion people. Let that sink in for a minute. A billion people, and most of us have never heard of them. So here's the funny thing. Norman Borlaug created this strain of wheat that now people grow all over the world and has saved tons of lives because they can have that food. Now think about it. He got all these awards. Did he deserve them? Absolutely. But here's the funny thing about credit. Credit is never usually just one person, all right? So I want you to think about this. Every dream has a genealogy. Remember, we just talked about how Moses was the answer to people's prayer 430 years before, right? Think about this. In 1943, show you the next picture, the vice president of the U.S. was Henry Wallace. And Henry Wallace was concerned about an impending worldwide food shortage. He was also Secretary of Agriculture. So he established a research station in Mexico whose sole purpose was addressing food insecurity by creating hybridized wheat for arid climates. Wallace was the one who appointed Borlaug to run that research center. So do you think Wallace deserves some of the credit for all those lives? Absolutely. Have you ever heard of Wallace before today? Probably not, right? So Wallace appointed him, so Wallace gets that credit. But here's the thing. He opened the door of opportunity, but Henry Wallace gets partial credit for that Nobel Peace Prize. You have to think back to 1891, George Washington Carver. Now, many of you have heard of him, right? He had a fantastic mustache as well, by the way. But in 1891, George Washington Carver was the first black student admitted to Iowa State University. After completing his master's degree, he became the first black faculty member. During his undergrad years, Carver had a professor of dairy sciences who invited him over to his house on weekends. That professor was Henry C. Wallace. Henry C. Wallace had a son named Henry A. Wallace, who eventually became vice president of the U.S. But here's the thing. Henry A. Wallace used to go on walks with George Washington Carver on botanical expeditions that it gave him a love for agriculture and a vision for humanity. So if Henry Wallace gets partial credit, you've also got to give partial credit to George Washington Carver for teaching him to love nature. But it goes back even further, because George Washington Carver, George Washington Carver enrolled at Iowa State University. Joseph Budd served as head of the horticulture department. Budd had a daughter, Etta May, who taught art. She didn't have an eye for art, just have an eye for art. She also had an eye for talent. And she said George Washington Carver was a man who had painting in him. And so he actually won a prize at a World's Fair for his art. But why did he not go into art? Because Etta May Budd told him that he needed to go into agriculture so he could serve humanity more fully. So did you guys catch that? So Borlaug saved billions of people's lives, but that chain goes all the way back to the 1800s to a faculty member who influenced a young man. Why am I telling you this? Well, guys, some of us are in this room because someone prayed for us. Some of us in this room are going to be the answer to prayer someone else prayed generations ago. Who knows how God is going to use you guys? God may send you to France to encourage someone. God may have you at a camp praying for a student who eventually becomes a pastor. I saw a video this week. Josiah and I got to go to a missions conference in Colorado this week, and we heard a story from a young man who is now a pastor who is training more pastors. This guy got diagnosed with hepatitis B before he was a Christian. The doctor said, "You're going to die. There is absolutely no hope for you to live." Well, he was at work, and he was really depressed, and a young man that worked next to him said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Well, I got diagnosed with hepatitis. I'm going to die." And this guy said, "I know a servant of God. I want to take you to him." This guy was Anglican. He didn't take him to his Anglican priest or any of his friends from church. He took him to an Assemblies of God pastor and said, "This man's a servant of God. He wants to pray for you." And the guy said, "Okay, yeah." So they fasted and prayed for 3 days. This guy didn't know Jesus at the time. They fasted and prayed, and the pastor said, "God gave me a word. He's going to heal you, but he's also going to use you." And the guy said, "Well, if God will heal me, I'll serve him." So he gives his life to Christ. He goes back to the doctor. The doctor ran a test and said, I can't find hepatitis. I want to run another test. He ran another test and said, I can't find hepatitis. He ran another test and said, okay, I don't know what happened, but you're healed. And he said, well, I have a good idea. So this guy gave his life to Christ, became a pastor. Now he's teaching at a Bible college that trains pastors, and those pastors are going out and planting churches. Isn't that amazing? This one young man was an answer to this guy's prayer, and so we have no idea how God is going to use us. But we understand that God works through generations. And we have to understand that faithfulness multiplies over time. So even though we may not see the answer today to our prayer, we know that God is working behind the scenes. And we see all throughout Scripture the small acts of faithfulness can multiply over time. What does that mean? When I don't see God working, I keep doing what? I keep praying. I keep spending time with him. I keep serving, because even though I don't see the answer, I know God is working and God works behind the scenes. And here's the great thing. Those small acts add up. So I want to go back to that guy that said, how did you become bankrupt? Well, gradually, then suddenly. Do you become bankrupt overnight? No, it's a series of small what? Decisions, right? Do you grow a good marriage overnight? No, it's a series of what? Small decisions, right? So we understand that it's amazing. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, the Lord said, don't despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. He's talking about building the temple. God loves seeing things begin. So here's the thing. Small acts of faithfulness compound over time. So there was a guy that did a science experiment, and he found out that one domino can tip over another domino 1.5 times its size, right? I want to show you this little video. This is really cool.
Everybody knows about playing with dominoes, but what you may not know is that a domino can knock over another domino, which is about 1.5 times larger. So what I have here is a chain of dominoes. Each one is 1.5 times larger than the previous one. And the smallest domino is about 5 millimeters high and 1 millimeter thick. And I will carefully place it. And there are 13 dominoes, and the largest domino, it weighs about 100 pounds and is more than a meter tall. Ready? Boom. That was 13 dominoes. If I had 29 dominoes,
if he had 29, he could actually knock over something as tall as the Empire State Building. Think about that. That's science. Science. I'm a nerd. I like science, right? But what does that show us in the spiritual? When I do these small acts of faithfulness, God can multiply those over time. And we see that, guys, all throughout Scripture. We see God doing things through ordinary people who are what? Faithful. Think about it. Moses wasn't a great speaker. God used Moses to deliver millions of people out of Egypt. And it all traced back to those two midwives who didn't kill him when he was born, right? So we see that God does great things. So small acts of faithfulness can lead to great things. We want God to do great things in us and through us, but we have to be faithful to see him do that, right? Even when we don't see God moving, we keep serving. We keep praying. We keep trusting. And we see that faithfulness stretches over generations, right? We see those ladies who didn't listen to the king. They didn't listen to Pharaoh. They allowed Moses to live. And so faithfulness stretches over generations. I love this quote. This came from the book. But it said, God often initiates history-shaping miracles through ordinary people who simply obey in secret. Their story reminds us that moral courage in small rooms can change the course of nations. Guys, like I said, many of us are here because someone prayed for us. Some of you had rough childhoods. Some of you came from rough places. God is using you to change your family forever. Because just because something happened to you, you can change that and your kids don't have to go through the same things. And guys, I can tell you, I've told you, my parents divorced. My dad wasn't a great person at all. He was abusive. He did things. And when Amy and I got married, we said, God is changing our families from this point on. Our kids will never have to deal with those things through God's grace. And their kids will never have to deal with those things through God's grace. And because my little grandma, who was, I mean, she terrified me, but she was about this big. But she prayed and she kept praying. And she believed that her grandkids were going to serve Jesus. And the amazing thing is, every one of her grandkids today serves Jesus. My cousin, just like a year ago, gave his life to Christ. She's been gone now for probably, I think, 5 years. She'd been praying for him for decades. And even though she's gone, yeah, that's amazing. Even though she's not here, God is still answering those prayers. Some of you are here and you're praying for family members. And you're praying for marriages. And you're praying for God to do things. And you may not see it, but you'll see it someday if we stay faithful. And we have to understand, lastly, that dreams often look different when they're fulfilled. So here's the thing, guys. We read Bible stories in minutes that took years or decades to occur, right? We love reading in Exodus 12, you know, the Israelites lived in Egypt 430 years. Oh, God answered the prayer. But you know what it felt like those 430 years? It felt like slavery, right? We see those things happening. We see that Jesus came, and it says that he came at just the right time. How long had been people waiting? How long had people been waiting for Jesus to come? Generations. Generations. What was God doing behind the scenes? God was getting things ready. He was getting the Roman colonies ready. They were building roads. They didn't know they were building roads for Jesus and the disciples, but they were. They were getting things ready. God was getting governments in place, and Jesus came at just the right time. Scripture calls it when the times were fulfilled. When God had everything ready, Jesus came. We see Joseph in the Old Testament. Remember Joseph, the one who got the Israelites into Egypt. God gave him a dream. How long did that dream take to fulfill? Years. Was it easy while he was waiting on that? No, if you read the story, he was a slave. Then he was in prison, falsely accused. Then he became second in command of Egypt. What was God doing in those times? Getting him ready. King David, we love reading about King David. How did God prepare David to be king? He was a shepherd for years to teach him, right? So we see all these things that God does. It may seem delayed, but it's not delayed. It's getting things ready. If God can redeem over 1 million people in one night that happened gradually and then what? Suddenly, what can God do through us if we're faithful? What can God do through you? What can God do through your family if you're faithful? What can God do from the people in this room, the people watching online, if we're faithful? God can change nations. And here's the deal, guys. Here's what I want you to catch today. We faithfully plant seeds that we may never see grow. What does that mean? Look at what Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. You must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. We read this earlier. 1,000 years are like a day. Here's what I want you to catch. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being what? Patient for your sake. Patient. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Why does God delay sometimes? Because God is gracious and God is patient. Guys, we want things answered on our timetable. We live in a culture that's instant. My kids live in a bigger city. They can get Amazon deliveries the same day. It makes me sick. I'll order something and they're like, oh, you should have that tomorrow. No, it'll be like next week sometime. What? I live in the boonies, right? They're like, well, mine comes that afternoon. I know. We've been spoiled. Walmart. I love this. We have that Walmart Plus thing. You can get free deliveries. What do they always do when you're checking out? If you want it faster, you can pay an extra $5, $10. We'll get it there in an hour. No, 2 hours is fine, right? But we live in a culture that wants things when, right now. Instant Pots, Keurigs. We can make coffee in 30 seconds sometimes. It's amazing. But God doesn't work that way all the time. Sometimes he does. I wish he did all the time, but he knows best. So we have to trust him. We have to trust that he is working behind the scenes even when we don't see it. So we plant seeds that we may never see. Some of you guys are planting seeds of faithfulness. You may not see, like I talked about my grandma, she never saw it come to fruition, but she believed until she died. Some of you are praying for things that you may not see in your lifetime. Some of you are praying for things that may happen on the other side of the world or in generations. But we see the gradual, and here's the thing, God prepares the sudden. God answers prayers from generations. God answered the prayers of generations through two Egyptian midwives. God protected nations from starvation from an immature teenager named Joseph, as we talked about, right? God answered the prayer of generations through Christ. But how did Christ get here? Because a teenage girl was faithful. In all those years that Mary was praying, Mary was serving, she had no idea that God was going to use her till this angel shows up and says, hey, you're highly favored. What? I'm a teenager. Yep. And you're going to say, you're going to deliver a baby that's going to save the world. We never know. Now, that was a one-off. You're not going to do that. But God can use you to do incredible things, guys. So God can change the world through the people sitting in this room if we are faithful. So I'm going to ask you, if you're able, would you stand this morning? So I don't know what God is doing in every one of us, but I love, one of the things I just love doing is saying, Lord, what can you do through us? What can you do through the people in this room, in this church? What can you do in us and through us? How can you change the world? How can you change this community? So Lord, right now, I just pray that all across this room, all of those watching online, that you would speak to every one of our hearts today. And as we've looked back and we traced how you answered prayers through generations, God, would you do that through us? But Lord, I'm sure there are some of us here that are discouraged. There are some here today who've been praying for things that they haven't seen. There are some who are believing for things that they haven't seen. But God, would you speak to each and every one of us tonight? God, would you speak to us? Would you encourage us? Would you help us to believe for what we haven't seen yet and to hold on to those dreams? God, if there are any of us here today who don't have a relationship with you, would you speak to us about that as well? To know that we can have that through you. God, if there are some of us here who are discouraged, who feel like maybe we've been forgotten, would you remind us today that we're not? And Lord, if there are some of us who are just on the verge of giving up, Lord, would you help us to hold on and to trust and to believe today? So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning, say, you know, Pastor X, as you're talking about this relationship with Christ, I don't have that, but I want to start that today. I want to ask him to forgive my sins. I want to begin that relationship. Would you slip your hand up right where you're at? We want to pray with you this morning. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what, Pastor X, I'm so discouraged. I've been praying for this, and I haven't seen it, but I want to trust God. I want to keep believing that he's going to answer. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Absolutely. We're going to pray for that this morning. If you're here and you say, you know what, I'm struggling with faithfulness. I want to serve him, but I get distracted, and I just want to keep serving. I want to keep being faithful. I want God to help me with that. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I just want to be faithful. Yeah. All right, we're going to pray. And then after I'm done, we're going to close out with a song. If you want someone to pray with you specifically about something, you can come up to the front. Someone would love to meet you here and pray with you. But God, right now, we pray for all those who raised their hands this morning. Lord, I pray for those who are frustrated, who feel like maybe they've been forgotten, and there's something they're believing for and they haven't seen it yet. Lord, would you give strength? Would you build faith? Would you help us to know that you are with us and help us to keep believing for you to answer? God, would you give strength? Would you encourage? Lord, for those this morning who want to continue to be faithful, and it's so easy to get distracted, Lord, would you help us to stay faithful, to stay the course, to keep believing, to keep praying, to keep serving, even when we don't see the answer, because we know that you are working behind the scenes. Lord, would you help us to keep our eyes on you? In Jesus' name, amen.